see you all this morning. Good to see you yesterday and the regular come back today. And, it's summertime. That's what happens around here. And we know that people are on vacation. They get busy and they get nicer. And very glad you're here. I want to remind you about tonight. Tonight is our fifth Sunday fellowship. We'll be hosting it for some local churches. And we've got three or four churches from there coming tonight to be a part of our service. We'll start at 5 o'clock. Oh, the barbecue dinner. I have been, I'm not kidding, I've been smoking meat now for 4 days. Woo! Got some brisket. Yeah, brisket. I've been breaking it. I grilled some chicken. Brother Borja has got ribs. I think he's got like 25, 30 pounds of ribs he's bringing. Last night at 6 p.m., I started to pull pork and the I woke up at 2:30 to attend to that this morning. That's how dedicated I am to you all. So pulled pork too, and all kinds of sides and salads and desserts. Looking forward to a good group tonight. If you can come, we'll have it. It's a good time of fellowship. Good time to get to know our church people in a little bit different setting. The preacher tonight will be Brother Kevin Griffin from Sedona. He's the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Temple there. And he's the one who kind of had the brainchild to get this fellowship going, so I'm going to have him preach tonight. We're having Southern barbecue, and he's a Southern fried preacher, so we'll have a great time tonight. We departed from the book of Acts for the summer, just for a time, and the Lord laid on my heart this idea of preaching on the theme of higher ground, and this morning we're going to look at a higher dwelling place. You can find your place in Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91. I want to read a few verses out loud to you. It's all standing to find our place here in Psalm 91. And I'm going to read the first four verses and then the last three verses of the Psalm. So Psalm chapter 91, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." We'll keep on reading here. Verse number 5. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." Now verse number 14. "Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And all the people said, "Amen." Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be assembled in this place on this particular Lord's Day. Thank you for the people who are here. Lord, we pray for those who have to be away today for illness and vacation and other ways they're hindered from attending today. Pray you bless them wherever they are this morning. But Father, we want you to come and meet with us this morning in a very special way. We need your Holy Spirit to come and to illuminate our hearts and minds to the truth of the Word of God, to make it come alive and be set on fire in our hearts and souls. Father, we need your Spirit to do His work amongst us, Lord. If there be anyone here today who never trusted Christ as their Savior, Lord, they would understand what it means to be lost this morning, a sinner without salvation. And your Spirit would show them their need to come to the Savior of Jesus Christ today. And Father, we want you to be magnified and lifted up and glorified in our hearts and with our mouth and our praise this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being seated. When I was in the Navy, my last 4 years in the Navy, I spent on the island of Oahu. Straight to the Pearl Harbor. I was on a fast attack submarine again. I was in the real Navy. I was in the real Navy, and it was a tough life for us, though. My wife can tell you I was gone about 9 months of the calendar year. I was gone and under the water somewhere in the Navy. But living on Oahu, my wife loved that. She just absolutely loved it. She loved the beach. She loved the island life, and she liked her job that she had there, and everything else like this. But there was also some drawbacks to living on the island. You would get something called island fever because it was so small. You could drive around the island in about an hour and a half. And so that was a long drive on the island of Oahu. It was an hour and a half, and that was going on the very outside edge of that island and things of nature. The traffic was absolutely horrendous there. They had two highways, H1 and H2. And at any time of the day, they were always booked and packed and just full of people wanting to go here and there across the island. Something else that's important to know about island life is they have these natural phenomenon called tsunamis, based on an earthquake, maybe under the ocean or even offshore somewhere, and then that will send a huge tidal wave to the shoreline to cause all kinds of devastation, destruction, death, things like that. Well, one of the things that you would see on the island of Oahu was signs that were tsunami evacuation routes. They were always, there were signs to tell you which way to go in case there was a tsunami. You would know there was a tsunami because there was sirens that would sound if they could take it. Well, the tsunami warning signs led you to higher ground. You got off the beach. You didn't hang out by the seashore any longer, and you went up as high as you could. And there were some nice mountains there on Oahu, and places you could go and get away from where the tsunami might come and cause devastation and destruction and death, again, things and things. And so that's the thought that we are focusing on Sunday mornings, is this idea of going to higher ground. And there's an opportunity in the Christian life for each of us to dwell on higher ground. We have the common, everyday, nominal, normal Christian existence, and there's really nothing wrong with that. If you are a child of God this morning, you are blessed beyond measure. But I want you to understand this morning, there is the opportunity to have a Christian life that God says would be to be more abundant, that the joy that we could experience the Christian life could be a overflowing, again, abundance of joy. I've taught you this, and again, it's something we taught our home when the kids were young, that you can live life as a Christian above the threat, above the daily grind. We all are very much prone to falling into the traps of the daily grind. We go to work, we go to school, we laugh and play, we recreate, take pictures. And so the threat can really overcome us at times. And if we're not careful, if we should be careful, if we're not careful, we can kind of live in, among, and have our existence with the fray, and there'd be real no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Are you going so far? And so we're just going to talk again this morning about this idea of higher ground. Last week we looked at Psalm 61, and we talked about that rock that David said was higher than I. And we're going to really have a lot of the same thoughts again this morning as we consider this higher dwelling place that is described in Psalm chapter 91. In Psalm 91 and verse 1, the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." And so there's a higher dwelling place talked about here in Psalm chapter 91, and I hope this morning we can share some thoughts and some Bible precepts that will help us understand this idea of wanting to live on higher ground. We're going to sing that hymn. I told Nancy we're going to sing that hymn every Sunday until you got memorized. I've got a great idea, don't you? Higher ground. So we ought to have this idea in our hearts. We want to go to higher ground, a higher spiritual realm, a greater knowledge, intimacy, existence with God. Understanding possibly what it means when He says that He has given us the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So all these are things I've talked about concerning higher ground. Now, this dwelling in the secret place, when you hear the word dwelleth or dwelling, it has the connotation, doesn't it, of living somewhere. It's not just a Motel 6. They won't even light on for you. It's not just a rest stop along the way. But God says that there's a possibility of dwelling in this higher place or on this higher ground. And, well, I can't go on, amen. I don't know what to do. Are you ready?
I'll watch it. Yeah, I don't know.
I know what's wrong.
Okay.
There's demons in sound system. Amen. Some say there's demons in sound me. I don't say that, but some do. That's not my channel. Thank you all for my higher ground. Now, where was I? Higher ground. Dwelling there. Living there. Forming your existence there. Missing it when you're not there. You ever get homesick? You know, my wife and I, we love our vacation time. Love it. Absolutely, just can't get enough of vacation time. My mic off. There it goes. Okay. Not enough, we can't get enough of vacation time, and we love when we go, but both of us will come to a point on vacation where we say, we're ready to go home. Yes. Because I don't want to get people saying, but there's no place like home. You knock your heels together, then you're there again, right? And so, but there's just something about it. There's a heart longing for wanting to go home. When I was in my other college, I went as a marriage student. I was in my 30s. But there was a lot of men, young men there who were 17 and 18 years old who had never been away from home before. And you would hear testimonies about how some of these young men actually cried themselves to sleep at night because they missed home so much. Can I say this? There's nothing wrong with missing home that much. Amen? Especially when you begin to think about this secret place, this higher place, this dwelling place that God has talked about and described for us. And it's this picture of being under His wing. Who was singing after this? After invitation under His wing? Okay. Under His wing. The protection of His feathers. The shadow of the Almighty. And Jesus even Himself talked about what it was like to be under His wing. And over the book of Matthew, it says in chapter 23 and verse 37, Christ is saying this as He's getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary, His last days here on the earth. He says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You understand there's safety, and there's protection, and there's refuge, and there's a way to kind of get away from it all, and to live above the fray, if we're willing to go in the secret place of God, and to dwell under His wings. Can you see the beauty and potential that this thought has for Him?
Amen.
Under His wings. A higher dwelling place. A place to escape the heat. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Not going to spend a lot of time here this morning on this thought right here, but we know what a premium shade is, don't we? In Arizona. It's hot. It's not Phoenix hot, but who cares? It's hot. And when you're out working, there's just nothing like finding a shady spot to go and just get a little reprieve from the heat. You know what causes a lot of heat in Christian life? Friction. Where's friction come from? Family? People? Church life? School life? Friendships? Relationships? Do we go there? We went there. All these things can cause friction in the Christian life. Friction produces heat. Heat produces weariness. And we are commanded to not be weary well doing. So we kind of fall into that trap of just existing in this daily grind and allowing ourselves to succumb to living among the prey of ungodly God so much, so many, so better for you. It's so bigger for you. It's so tired for you. He said, come up hither and get under my wings. Come into the shadow of the Almighty. Come into the shade of the great God of heaven. And it's not going to cool you off completely, but I guarantee you this, the friction burns will go away. Because when you're alone with God, there is no friction. You're right with God. You need to be right with God. How can you walk together? Except if you agree, someone say amen. But it's important to understand that there's this possibility and potential of escaping the heat. Keep your front light off, your mic says the key off, better time to be. Thank you, sir. They can escape the heat of the daily grind again, the prey that the world creates that we live in. And we don't want to be those that live outside of the realm of the world. The world would need us to be salt and light here in this earth. But understanding that we all will need time to get out of the heat, because life produces heat. No matter what we try and where we go, we have to understand there's a possibility to escape the heat. Under the shadow, or the shade, you can say, of the Almighty. The creates heat. The creates noise. Verse number 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. From the snare of the fowler. I don't know what a fowler is. Well, we said a fowler is. It's a hunter who specializes in hunting birds. Life is chasing you like a hunter chasing quail. Trying to scare him up. Get him to fly. Get him to fly. Boom! Shoot out of the sky. That's what life does for us. It's a fowler. He's hunting us. And we understand that as Christians, we're no longer being hunted, as the Old Testament talks about the Avenger of Blood in the Old Testament, where there was a city of refuge established. And we understand, I think today, theologically speaking, that the Avenger of Blood was the law, and the law wouldn't quit until blood was drawn. Thank God, blood was drawn at Calvary and it paid my sin debt. Amen.
Amen.
But we're not being pursued by the Avenger of Blood anymore, but we are being pursued by legalism. We are being pursued by those who would really fall in real well with the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Amen. The Sanhedrin, or whatever they were called back then. I don't know all the names, and I can't remember them all, but we do get pursued by those things. And then there are those who are pursuing us that would just love to see us fall. Our adversary, the devil, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Our eyes are roaring wine. Walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm still battling with the old man. That's not my dad, amen. That's the flesh nature. And I'm still dealing with that. That's pursuing me too. And so you have those things that are pursuing us. Then the world system also is pursuing us and trying to convince us that we're way too old-fashioned, way off the beaten path, and we're going countercultural and things of nature. I don't know if there's a more countercultural person in all of history than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was against the culture. He's for God.
Amen.
So that'll happen sometimes, and these things will pursue us. The world, the flesh, the devil, the different isms that the plague of our society and our religious system today. All these things are pursuing us, trying to scare us up, get us to run and fly so they can shoot us out of the sky.
Yeah.
And also, he said this, the noisome pestilence. That's not a word I use every day. Either one of the two, noisome or pestilence. We're just talking about, just think about this, the general noise that life creates. And I'm talking about words, talking, I'm talking about the general noise that life creates. If you were to go out here to sit by this cedar tree back here in the back, you would hear a noise coming in the air. Well, yeah, passing this car, passing by here, all fine. Yeah, there's that. There's also an electrical pole up there, and you can hear the noise of that slight hum or buzz from the transformer. Get under high tension lines, and you can hear noise there. Go into a workplace where no one's saying a word, but you're hearing keystrokes. And the word of heart, the worrying of a, I mean, use the word worrying, you're not worrying, of hard disks and things spinning, CD-ROMs and all the different things that are going on, the noise of automobiles. And then we have the noise that really just affects our souls. Again, it's kind of like the friction things. It's the family life. It's relationships. It's friendships. It's church politics. It's all these things. It's politics. Somebody say amen. Oh, I didn't want to go there this morning. Somebody help me not to go there this morning. But you're like, get away from this, please. Yes, you have all this noise going on in this life. And here's what God says. I need you to escape the noise that's keeping your soul from having clear communication with me. Come in under my great outspread wings. Get saved from the heat, but also get this. Get refuge from the noise that life creates. Because I'm telling you this, when we are noisy down in our souls, we're not having good fellowship with our God. Amen? When I think of the seasons, I think of summer being a noisy season. Every morning I've been waking up, and at 6 a.m., somebody in my neighborhood, from not yet pinpointed, but I'm trying to, have been jackhammering something at 6 a.m. Talk about jackhammers and generators and chainsaws and all the different things. I'm usually up anyway, but for me, the morning is my only quiet time of the day.
Amen.
Because as soon as we get to late morning, the phone starts ringing, and the errands got to be done, and the visits must be made, and all those things that are a part of life have to take care of. So, these summers are a very noisy season. It's a noise because we're working longer because we've got more daylight, and we're working harder because we've got more energy because it's not so cold, and all the things are going on. And so you have this noisy time of summer, and I always kind of consider winter to be the quiet season. You ever going outside after a good snowfall?
Yeah.
There's not a bird saying a word out there, okay? It's quiet. And you go out there, and you can hear absolutely nothing, and it's beautiful. And all you really hear is the snow crunching under your boots as you're walking through. It's a beautiful time. God says, if you come to me in faith, and trust me, and want to get out of the noise of the world that you're being pursued and being consumed with, it'll be like that time when you go outside and there's that fresh coat of snow on the ground and you won't hear anything except for what God wants you to hear. And I believe this with all my heart that God still speaks to us in a still, small voice.
Amen.
And still, small voices cannot be heard over the din of daily life. Amen. Escape the noise. I haven't said this. I'm not sure I've had it. I won't keep you long. I had 4 points this morning, so it's kind of scary me. It's getting through. So one man told me he had some ice in his car and he wanted me to get up with the ice melted. That's a fair thing to say, right? But my question is, do you have a sunshade or not in your car? Sunshade, got a chance. No sunshade? Sorry, bud. Amen. Noise. Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands with full with travail and vexation of spirit. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the human existence? Give me all I can, and I'm going to can all I get. They say I'm a can. Give me all I can. And I'm going to can all I get. The spirit of can. That's the human existence. And we are programmed that way. And it's a stuff-oriented world. And it's a short-time-oriented world that we live in. And we want to have both hands full. And God says this. Don't try to cook with both hands full. Your body being full of travail, work, and vexation of spirit. Let one hand go empty. Go up here and have some quiet time. And don't worry about that empty hand. God shall supply all your needs. Empty hand or not. Someone say amen. Alright. Ephesians 4:6. I got another one here. Isaiah 57, verse 20, 21. But the wicked are like the, what's it say? Stubble of the sea. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, except by God, to the wicked. Don't you think it's a sad Christian testimony when our lives are just as noisy as those who do not know our great God?
Amen.
And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance. How long?
Amen.
Forever. Amen. You can also escape the darkness. Verse 5 of Psalm 91, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth that new day. When you read the text here, either way, there's negative, whether it's daytime or nighttime, a place to escape the grip of God. But we know this, that in our life, we have more problems at nighttime than we do during the day. We have more trepidation of going out or being alone at night than we do during the day. I've had missionary families stay here on the property. It's very quiet and very dark. And they have said, we were kind of afraid last night because it is so dark. And it is so quiet, and you will hear coyotes, and you will see javelinas going across the nature. Who knows what else might be out there at night? Rich out there at night, amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so you just don't know if you're going to run into with things of nature. So understanding this, that we have a kind of programmed fear in our souls, or in our wiring, you could say, that we don't even like to go out at night time. I'd rather cross paths with somebody who I thought was unseemly and tough looking in broad daylight than I would in the dark alley.
Amen.
God says, come into the shadow of the Almighty. It's almost like an oxymoron here. God says, come into the shadow, but you're coming into the light. It's a better light. It's a purer light. It's a noble light. What's it say about God is light. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And in him is no what?
Right.
Darkness at all. God is light. Go to the next slide. I don't think I'll find that slide anyway. Mike, is he awake? There we go. No? Yes, yes. 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message we have heard of him. And declaring in that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
God says, are you coming in my shadow? The kind of dark you're going to experience, not the kind of dark that you're afraid of. It's going to cause fear. But instead, it's the kind of dark that's going to cast out fear. Because it's the shadow and the shade and the heat of the day. It's a place where friction does not exist. It's a place where fellowship is absolutely maximized and magnified. So I want you to come into the shadow and escape the dark, because the powers of darkness, saints, are pursuing the Christians today. They're pursuing the children of light. Somebody say amen. They don't understand it. We have to go to that place of refuge and escape the heat, and escape the noise, and escape the darks, the darkness. And then finally this morning, experience deliverance. Deliverance. If you were to go and read this psalm this afternoon, you realize as you come to the end of the psalm that there's a dialogue going here with the author of the psalm. It doesn't matter who the author is, the Holy Spirit inspired it, and with what God wants to say. And what God says, he starts to talk to him and says in verse number 14, talking about this one who has trusted the Almighty, who's chosen to dwell in the secret place, who's come out of the shadow and the wings of the Almighty. He says this, he says in verse 14, because he has set his love upon me. This is God saying to you, because you have set your love on me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I say it's something we've got away from in the 21st century, probably going for the 20th century, is the fact and the reality that deliverance is a true ministry and revelation that God can make happen. You can be delivered today.
Yes.
Pastor, but I choose the program. That's fine. The program can't deliver you. It might sustain you. And it might get you through. The program can't deliver you. Only God and His Spirit can deliver us. From what? Name it. What came into your mind just now? My answer is yes, you can be delivered. Because He's the great God of heaven. Amen? And so we still believe and still preach that God is a God who can deliver. And God said, when you come into my shadow, into my shed, and you begin to abide for sacrifice, and you show and you want to spend some time there, God says this, because you set your love upon me, I will deliver him. I will honor him. And I will satisfy him with long life. You say, Pastor, I know a lot of Christians who die young. Question, is their life over when they die?
No.
It's forever and ever and ever. Pastor, you believe this, that once you're saved, you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven forever? I believe that with all my heart and soul. If I didn't, I wouldn't bother being here this morning.
Yes.
Amen. He gives us deliverance, and He promises us this long life that it's going to be in His existence. He's saying that right now, you can experience a small piece of heaven by wanting to dwell on higher ground and to come in my presence and to get under the shadow of my wings, because I'll protect you there. You'll understand what a refuge I am and what a buffer I can be and how quiet it can be and how level it can be, how peaceful it can be. So, but you've got to try it before you can understand it. So before we leave this earth and go to heaven, why not try God? Get over here, some will say, amen, and get into His presence and begin to enjoy what God has for His children. Yes. There's coming a day when we're going to go to that dwelling place forever. And I've already said that place is called heaven. John 14, chapter 1, verses 4, 1, 3, 3, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. It's Christ speaking here. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. So we're not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
How many believe that this morning?
Amen.
That's the end of the Christian life, the Father's house. But Jesus says right now, I'd like you to come in. Let me gather you in my wings for a little while. Because there's safety, and there's solitude, and there's rest, and quietness, and righteousness, and perfection, and justice, and holiness, and goodness, and meekness, and kindness, and tenderness, unending grace, and mercy. Try to get any of those things from this old world, and you'll be sorely disappointed, but there's something wonderful under the wings of Jesus. It's a true story that I read several years ago. There was a forest fire, and I understand today is the anniversary of the 19 and things of that nature, so I'm not trying to make light of it at all. But somebody had written this account of a forest worker going through a forest after a fire had ravaged it. And as he was walking through, he saw some kind of bird, charred, laying there in the forest. But he said to himself, poor thing. And he went and he kicked it over. And when he did, little live chicks ran out of that bird, survived the ravages and the heat of the forest flames. I'm telling you this, under the wings of Jesus, there's no heat that can ravage you or take you away or separate you or even ruin your day.
Hey.
I may have got ruined this morning. I was almost here, got a phone call to go back to PV and pick up kids. I didn't mind doing it. I went back, and come up. I was late for Sunday school. Brother Shamley filled in and did Sunday school. Praise God for that this morning. That worked out wonderfully. But I thought to myself, why would this happen to me? And as I was driving back to PD, God said, now, what are you preaching this morning? Under his wings. How do we get there? Keep this one quick. John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by me. All God's people said,
Amen.
All stand. If God has spoken to you in some way this morning, would you take time to speak back to Him? Say, Pastor, I've been in a secret place for a long time. Why not right now? Be alone with God for a little while. Talk to Him. Come remember how peaceful, how merciful, and how gracious the place it is. And if you're here this morning and have never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you come this morning and let's take the Bible and show you some more truth about salvation and point you towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's a willing, able, and ready Savior this morning. If you don't know Him, please come this morning and let's help you and point you in the right direction. Brother Matt.